and welcome to another episode of This Is Silly Mitch. Matthew Bird.
All right.
Bradley.
What's up?
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
It's been a great New Year because things are changing.
Yeah, there's a lot to discuss, a lot of news. First, I do want to say I'm done with technology, man. As much as I love my gadgets and as much as I couldn't live without them, they conspire to fuck us.
Every single time.
We will be buying a new portable recorder, though it wasn't the recorder's fault
this
time.
It was the smart card. It was the SD card this time.
I've decided to throw it all away.
Yeah.
We're buying something new. It's let us down in too many big interview situations.
We have some money left over from the scarf sales for exactly this moment.
There we go.
So
what we had planned on starting tonight's show with was a really, really fun little interview we did with the new head coach of St. Louis FC, Steve Churchu. Mitch, Matt, and I, they gave us a few minutes with him. I don't know. We probably talked for 10, 15 minutes with mm-hmm. him.
It was about 15, yeah.
Had some, you know, good questions, some good discussion with him.
A little bit of banter.
I think it showed his personality a little bit. And, of course, all of that has been lost to the Silicon debacle.
I get it home. I put it into the computer. I'm like, God, there's a lot of background noise, but I'll be able to maybe do some fixing of this. So it's like, okay, well, I'm gonna go have dinner. I'm gonna go do some other things. Come down, put the card in, back in, because I, you know, taken it out, so nothing happened to it, and something happened to it, and nothing is on the card. It's unreadable. Now, mind you, that's also kind of my fault because the card is probably. How long are we doing the podcast?
Seven years
old.
I don't want to blame user. I want to blame technology.
That's fine. We'll blame technology.
We just got to get him on the couch now.
We do.
Oh, yeah.
But when we get to that part of the pod, we will try our best to recall some of his answers. But I really wish you could hear his voice, hear him talk about these things. But the good news is next Tuesday night, we will be at the town hall. That will be at Soccer Park Ballroom. Coach Trichy will be there, and he will hopefully, you know, talk to some of your concerns and questions and answer, you know, questions there in the Q&A format too. So suffice it to say, I enjoyed meeting the man.
It was great.
Had some fun with him.
Very, very personable.
Yeah, he understands supporter culture. I mean, he's been in the game forever as a player and a coach. So I think you guys will like him personally. As always, wins help.
Yeah,
if he doesn't win, it doesn't matter how nice a guy he is.
Mm-hmm. He'll be a lot more engaging than the second coach was.
Well, yes. We've already spent more time talking to him than we did Preki.
True.
So look forward to meeting him at the town hall next week. And like I said, we're going to get to that announcement and we'll kind of give some of our impressions. But let's hit some news and notes because there was a ton of things that have happened. We'll probably won't get it all, but we'll get some of it here.
I was going to say, that's probably the biggest news.
That is the biggest news St. Louis FC wise, right?
That's probably the starting point, isn't it?
Yes. And we will talk about that, but I just want to cover some of these other things.
All right, fine. Be that way.
The USL meetings were going on the last time we had a podcast. This was right before the Christmas break. A couple of little things came out from that meeting. Probably one of the headline grabbers or whatever. Jeff Ritter reported that they're considering a U.S. All-Star game. Personally, does nothing for me.
Awful idea.
I don't think it's a bad idea, but I don't think it's... I mean, who's going to travel to an All-Star game?
Nobody.
I think it rewards a market, you know, maybe show off Louisville's new stadium, that kind of thing.
That's who it would be.
And if it was here, I would go to it, but I'm not going to travel because I think Bird pointed out when it first came out, if I'm going to spend a couple hundred bucks to go see my team, I'm going to see my team in a game that matters.
Yep. Yeah.
So, but USL, again, trying to hashtag raise their game, trying to do things other big leagues do. I think it adds some legitimacy to it. Sometimes it's just for show, but I don't have a real problem with it. I don't think people will travel to it.
I don't like it at all.
The only thing, if your striker pulls his hamstring in a meaningless game,
the other part is too is that, okay, chances are they're probably going to have it on a Wednesday night, you know, just so they
to
don't
squeeze
disrupt,
it in, yeah.
To squeeze it in, which means that if your player plays in that, he's going to need a game off to rest either before or after.
It depends on how they do it. I mean, they could do like a gigantic team and, you know, just give guys a half hour run out.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, I don't even if we're in a playoff hunt or at least competing well,
yeah.
The last thing I want is a guy that's critical to our game being in there.
Well, and then you get the whole gamesmanship where guys say they're hurt so they don't have to go, and then you've got backups. Backups to backups to backups. And
yeah. And again, the other part is, too, is that, okay, if it...
Maybe something more fun would be a young player's game.
That would make sense.
Like an under 23 in USL yes. game or something. Young some of the guys stars. That aren't getting playing time.
I'd rather see something like a Community Shield type.
To start the season?
The winner of the West against the winner of the East. Not the guys who made the final.
Right.
But the top. Something along those lines.
Yeah.
Yes. That would be great. That'd be a great way to... Because the thing is that if you're, and I'm not picking on Louisville, I'm just using them as the example since they have the bright, pretty stadium and they'll be a great place to host something like this. Do they really care about the top Sounders 2 guy?
No.
Nobody. You know, I mean, do they even know who it is? You know, some will, but most aren't. You know, it's, you know,
but
your
I think maybe that's the argument for it at the same time. Because, I mean... I'm guilty of it on busy weeks, but a lot of people in this league only watch their team play. So maybe there is a guy at Orange County that I should know about that I don't ever get to see play. I mean, maybe it's the idea is to get some of these people some recognition and some eyeballs on them to realize how far the league's come. Because, I mean, we talk about it every week. The league has gotten better and better and better. And some of these guys do deserve more than they're getting.
Speaking of Jeff Reuter with The Athletic, he actually, in a related note, had a great article today where it's about nobody gets signed to MLS from USL. And, you know, I think they said, like, last year there was only, like, 8 guys.
Yeah.
Something like that. It was this terrible, and you look at, you know, he just compared it to England as the easy one. You're not going to see a Jamie Vardy because they just don't do it. They don't. You know, there are some cases, and in what was it? I forget which team paid like $50,000 for a player from a D3 and to play in D2. But
look at Andy Robinson from Liverpool.
Yeah,
picked him up from Air United or some bizarre Scottish team. You know, and
we talk about it a lot with regards to USL, how. Sometimes the talent gap isn't that much between like the lower end of MLS and the top end of USL. You're telling me some of these guys who've been on 3 championship teams from Louisville, you know,
don't warrant a look.
The hardest part of it all is we always talk about that winning mentality and that culture. And so these are guys who are used to winning and could probably play a part on a team. Yeah. I'm not saying they're not going to start. They're not going to, you know, lead the league and whatever, but I find it hard to believe that only 8 or whatever the number is warrant a look at the next level.
Yeah, I'll have to read it a little bit more detail.
I mean, I think James Musa can play in MLS.
Yeah.
But are the Columbus Crew going to waste an international spot on a dude that maybe is on the fence?
Well,
you know, you've got that aspect.
You do have that.
But... there's plenty of American players that could possibly make the jump.
And I think when looking at things like that, I mean, we've got the Super Draft coming up on Thursday, and shout out to Jack Maher. He's projected to go 1 or 2. Generation Adidas signed him to a contract, so that gets those guys a little bit more money. It makes it easier. Another way for MLS teams to circumvent the salary cap. but when teams are looking at, you know, guys they want to pick, the Super Draft is so cheap. You can draft a bunch of kids, bring them all in, give them a look, and now you can even stock them down in your 2 team for a year or two. You can do that so much cheaper than you can take a flyer on maybe a 25-year-old guy who could or could not help you for a year or two.
But also, I reckon James Moose is on more than MLS base minimum.
Well, and that was exactly what I was going to say. That was something that the article addressed that, you know, I won't say Moose is, but we'll just say a top USL guy, they said, is probably making $70,000 to $80,000 a year.
Mm-hmm. A wall fall.
Maybe, yeah. You know, and And then you get a entry level MLS, or the bottom of MLS is making like 50.
30, I think it's 30 something.
They were saying the average of it was like 56.
Yeah.
So is he going to take a pay cut to go?
Well, and
his career has only got so many years to it.
And we also see a lot of kids who do sign MLS contracts, like a Patrick Duty, who I think could have had a very nice USL career. Maybe he can't afford to take the pay cut to move down,
mm-hmm.
and they decide to get a job in insurance, or Patrick's doing commentary now. I mean, still a long way to go for U.S. soccer to work out sort of that...
Have and have nots.
Well, that pathway in between Division One and Division Two, it's not quite as seamless as it is in other countries.
But I also think that also talks about how segmented and broken the different divisions are.
But you also saw Cincinnati take four or five of their USL guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they got absolutely
slapped. Didn't work out. Yep.
They got slapped.
Anyway, go read The Athletic. It's worth your money.
Yeah, and that's one of those with the season coming up. Jeff's going to be doing a lot more USL articles.
And his articles are fantastic.
Yeah, he's a guy that really cares about this league and about soccer in general. I think there's a few other guys, too, that write for The Athletic. I think it's worth a subscription, at least during the season. I mean,
well, and if you're a hockey fan or a baseball fan, it's right, beyond worth it.
Another competition, the U.S. Open Cup, changes came out to that about when the rounds are and how quick MLS comes in. And originally it looked like some good news. We'd see more big teams versus little teams, but come to find out the way the dates line up, a lot of the NPSL teams or the USL League Two teams, they're not even going to be able to play in it because they don't get their college players released in time. I think it's May before a lot of those guys get their college kids released to them. And these rounds start late March or April.
Yeah, a lot of teams are backing out.
Yeah, just saying we can't, because they can't field a team. I mean, we know when the Lions, you know, they're that level of team. And it was always, even the first, second week of the season, they were getting kids back from college or whatever. Right.
Not everybody gets out at the same time.
So I think the Open Cup tried to do something good, but they didn't think it through all the way. It's probably too late to make any changes for this year's edition, but hopefully next year they'll kind of reevaluate and figure out a way to get more teams involved.
I hope so.
Rebranding seems to be the thing to do in soccer this year. A couple of rebrands came out recently. Charleston.
Very good.
Yes.
Thought theirs was a good rebrand. Kept the core, the black and gold, some of the elements.
They just cleaned it up a bit, didn't they? It just looked clean.
Made it nice and simple. Yeah, mm-hmm. It looked good. On the opposite end of the spectrum, Lou City.
I didn't think it was as bad as it got shelled
for.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't think it was as bad. I looked at it and went, meh.
It was pretty bad.
If it was a new team coming in with something like that, you'd be like, eh. If it's an existing brand with a recognized logo and a recognized...
Well, and there were just little things that didn't make sense. I mean,
I agree.
The way it was divided, it wasn't to a point.
Oh, yeah. The line going across didn't go point to point. It was off center.
The field of stars from the flag wasn't...
centered. All they had to do was center it.
And it wasn't, in there. So the stars were kind of expanding out beyond the borders.
Yeah, and then the whole thing.
The Florida Lees didn't look good.
No.
Like it didn't. It looked like we're trying to do something with the Florida Lee, which the thing about the Florida Lee is it's pretty basic and simple.
Yeah.
And then they got rid of the gold altogether. They went purple and black and silver. Very strange.
I just don't think there was a need to do it to begin with. Honestly, I mean,
they've been
the best team in the league for 5 years.
Exactly. You see rebrands when things are going wrong and they just want to shake it up.
Yeah.
You should stick with the identity that works for you guys.
Yeah, you got a couple stars on there. You know,
I do get they weren't moving into a new stadium, maybe wanted to make it their own, but thankfully the front office, unlike Chicago Fire, listened to their fans and said, okay, well, they announced today we're going to keep the old logo for this year. We're taking supporter input, fan input, and we will revisit the rebranding after this season.
Yeah, they even recalled all the stuff they had sold on day one, saying, hey, if you want to return it and get something with the correct logo on it, you can.
The best thing about all these rebranding stories, though, is Nutmeg News got got right involved immediately and announced that St. MLS for the Lou is going to rebrand, even though they haven't officially branded yet. They've they've scrapped their no design to come up with a new no design. And the best part about whenever I share a Nutmeg news story,
people think it's legit.
People think it's real, and they're like, this doesn't even make any sense. What are they talking about? I mean,
what's an awful article? That's
yeah.
That's word salad.
It's like, yes, it is. That's what it's there for, kids. So yeah, if you don't know, Nutmeg News is a satire site. I don't know what to tell you other than you're not going
to
like those articles because today they announced that part of the new USL fan code of conduct involves every new fan for USL starting their own podcast. And I say go for it because it's nothing but money and celebrity and
fame. Just the fame that you get from this alone.
Mitch, we're all three married guys. I'm
freeloading vermin bitching about us for something that we do for free.
Freeloading, you get all of those
freeloading
messages.
Vermin.
Oh my God. And the women just throw themselves, and the men.
Exactly.
Throw themselves off cliffs. That's what they do when they listen to this.
But again, I've said it before, I'll say it again. The Nutmeg News, if you really want to know what's going on in U.S. soccer, they have their finger on the pulse.
I tell you what, they nail it, though, every time.
Every time.
And they've got people who have experienced it. Because when they write about supporters groups, we all know the person they're writing about or whatever they're writing about. If you spend any time in U.S. soccer at all, you know these stories. And they get the tone just right every time. Speaking of rebrands or maybe new brands, Charlotte has officially been announced as Team 30 in MLS. Uniquely, Team 30 will start before teams 28 or 29. They're going to go starting next year because they're going to play at the Bank of America Stadium. They've got a place to play.
Didn't give a fuck.
But I've said for a long time, Charlotte, I think, is a good market. We all have talked about why the independence isn't working there, but I don't think that's any indication of what the MLS team will be.
It's a good market for MLS because the city's throwing money at them.
Oh, that's true. But I do feel for the members of Jack's Militia and the Talking Jack's podcast and those guys. Much like we're kind of caught between the new team and the old team, theoretically there is some link with Jim Cavanaugh.
Yeah.
Those guys have no link. It's brand new, and hopefully they figure out a way to work with the independents because for all their foibles, they are the soccer team there, and the true soccer fans in Charlotte have invested in the independents. So hopefully they'll find a way to work forward and work together.
I was thinking about this today because you posted the article about, or someone on the Lugans pod posted the article about the 20,000 season ticket deposits.
Yeah.
Add an extra $100 to your season ticket deposit and you get your independent season ticket for this year thrown in. Something along those lines.
Yeah, I mean,
Get them going to games.
It would
away.
Be nice, and it would be nice if MLS for the Lou did something similar with St. Louis FC. But we know what
but we're not suffering for attendance the way
not the way they are. No.
I mean, they are. I mean,
our stadium's more or less full,
85% capacity. Yeah. I'd say for the most part on average, and we're not really suffering. I mean, some in those independence games, man, there's twigs and shit there. Yeah. Watching the game, it's one man and his dog.
And I've heard them say like where it is, it's hard to get to or whatever. But I mean, Fenton's 20 to 30 minutes out of St. Louis. I mean. I don't know.
I think, honestly, one of the biggest myths in American soccer is that MLS is the only soccer worth watching.
Yeah.
And I think that's happened in Charlotte, more so than here. I like Goose. He's a good follow on Twitter.
Yeah.
And he's hurting. I mean, he loves the Charlotte Independents, and he's like me. He feels that his team is going away to a degree.
Yeah.
And I hope that... I mean, at least we're getting a new stadium out of it. They're not. I mean, they've got to move into Bank of America or whatever, which is a cavernous bowl.
Yeah.
And whenever MLS releases an article saying we've got so many season ticket deposits, I always tell that with a grain of salt.
Well, that's true too.
You know, So we'll see. But I hope it's everything that they want it to be.
Yeah.
I still couldn't give a fuck, though.
Well, you'll give a fuck about this. Our friend Lewis Hilton officially signed with the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Lewis, great guy. Wish him the best.
Love the dude. Dead to me now.
Dead to me now. Yeah, I hope we run over you when we face Tampa Bay. But everybody liked Lewis, and he was one of those guys that when the first list came out, he was a guy they looked for.
I'll miss Tina.
Tina, yes. And I can't remember his dad's name. Jim. Always great. They always came to, you know, they planned for like a week in the summer and went to, you know, three or four games, whatever they could. Always good people. Good follows on social media, too.
Joe Cole's still involved down there as a coach, isn't he? He's a West Ham boy.
There you go. Lewis. Maybe that's why.
You know, good luck to you, Lewis. And thanks for, seriously, man, if you're listening, because you're probably not, but thanks for covering every single blade of grass.
Yeah.
Yep. Or turf.
Elmo Tour.
He gave 110% every game, and that's all I want out of my players.
Another former player that just signed the other day, our friend Richard Dixon, Jeremy Allenbaugh, making the signing.
If Irvin Herrera goes to fucking Chattanooga, man, I'm going to go down there and kick Allenbaugh's ass.
But the other highlight of that Richard Dixon signing is he was on the red side of Chattanooga last year.
Now he's on the blue
now
side.
Now he's on the blue side. I think he'll be loved by the players.
Chattanooga is blue.
Yeah. I think also he's going to be doing some... He's gonna,
no, it is. It
he's
really is.
Going to be doing some coaching down there, player coach kind of thing, which Dixon is that kind of guy.
Yeah, he's a leader.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
I like Richard Dixon. I'm not a fan of any team carpetbagging into a market, so I'm not a fan of the Red Wolves. So, you know,
there we go.
Good. I'm glad for him. I'm glad for Jeremy. Go do it, guys.
Some news that did come out from MLS for the Lou. We're always talking about there's no news coming from MLS for the Lou. This one came from our governor's office when they said, you know, that $30 million you were planning on getting from the state, which we pretty much promised to you and told you it was no big deal. Rubber stamp, let's do this. Well, evidently it is a big deal, and the governor has changed his mind and says they're only going to give in the neighborhood of $6 million a year. So, you know, the team's going to have to come up with another $20 million or so.
Classy move by the governor.
As far as we know, who knows what kind of deals are going
to
be cut.
You know what? You say you're going to do something and then you don't do it. Fuck you. I mean, that's all it comes
down
to.
But, I mean, he's happy to shout out a name today that he thinks
No, that was a different governor.
That was two governors ago.
That was Jay Nixon.
Whatever.
Yeah. Parson knows.
They're all a bag of wankers.
Yeah. So, anyway.
At least we don't have
them. It was an awful like confluence. Shut up, you dick.
I got in trouble for saying that last time.
I'm guaranteed Jay Nixon does not listen to this podcast.
That's a very good point.
He's still better than Hawley, though.
Some of the good news that came out from the USL Board of Directors meetings or whatever they were calling them, St. Louis FC will remain in the Eastern Conference.
This is amazing.
The first year in our 6 years of existence
that we've been in the same conference
two years in a row.
That is insane. I mean,
it's. I almost wish they would have switched just to keep the streak alive.
And, right. And kept Swope in the East.
Right, yeah. Would have been perfect, right?
I do miss going to Tulsa, though, I'll be fair to that. I do miss going to Tulsa.
Well, I think maybe there's a way we can get Tulsa in the East if they add another team out West. Tulsa may be the next one to come East. But that's good news for those of us. There's more road trips in the East. I think... It just helps a team when they can get a little continuity, because we talk about the differences between the East and the West. You know, we've got a team that theoretically was built for the East. Hopefully we can keep that up or maybe improve. But the other big news this week, of course, the home opener, March 7th, the new boys in the league, Miami FC. The Miami FC with our friend Mark Pace. We'll be traveling to Soccer Park March 7th for the home opener.
Love you, Mark, but I hope we smash the hell out of you.
Yeah, I want to.
I hope it's freezing and snowing and hypothermic.
It probably will be.
Yeah, I hope so. It's going to be in March.
That's what you want to play in a team from Miami.
So, yeah, I'm excited. It's time. We got to get some preseason games in. Hopefully those will be being announced soon. But it's time. It's time to start planning things like the AGM and the kickoff party at second shift and getting ready to get out there and see some soccer. If you don't have season tickets, they have a special right now, a flex pack that includes the home opener. Get on it, and we're going to have some fun at Soccer Park.
Speaking of our friends at Second Shift,
yes.
Met with Libby recently.
Okay.
And chatting with her over a few cold ones, and she mentioned that she thought of an idea of doing another variant of Brewligans this summer for the season.
I won't say no.
And, you know, before they did the DDH, double dry hopped,
yep.
Which was good, but it's still very hoppy, and she's got an idea, and we talked about it. They've got a test batch going of it right now as we speak that they're going to see if it works. And if it does, there will be another addition to the Lulligan alcohol family.
A little summery.
Yes, a little more summery feel to it. So look forward to that.
But as always, feel free to visit Second Shift anytime because it's a good place to hang out.
That it is.
Let's talk about another brewery, our friends Urban Chestnut. They recently provided fuel for our charity game last
adult
weekend.
Adult sports drinks, I think you called it.
Adult sports drinks, that's right. Charity game. Every year with American Outlaws, we do a game for the St. Louis Area Food Bank. Kind of kicks off the season. That's what we did last weekend. I'm going to be real honest with you. I did some time traveling towards the end of that game, so probably not the best person to talk about it, but we did have a lot of fun. We did raise a lot of food. I think we're going to have the totals in the next day or two to promote and announce, but I will tell you, Food Bank was thrilled with what we did, as always. They're always very nice. Thanks to St. Louis FC for hosting. Thanks to Urban Chestnut for the aforementioned sports drinks. And thanks to everybody that came out and had a good time. Unfortunately, American Outlaws won the game.
I think it's because they had the girl from Fire and Ice that broke Stewie's ankles.
It didn't help. It didn't help.
Because she made him look awful.
But I mean,
you won the toss, so in his mind, we won.
Hey, yes. Fair enough. Captain Ewan.
Ewan actually got injured out there on a play.
He took it very seriously.
Yes.
Like, we lost.
Well, Tom got him a captain's armband.
He was very upset that we lost. I'm like, dude.
I know Cordelia got a goal. That was nice. There was less running down of children on purpose by the AO this year.
That was a nice change.
I think they finally realized it was supposed to be fun.
Well, it was nice that they actually had some kids this year.
They had a few kids of their own.
So that kind of helped.
But I think everybody that showed up had a great time. And I, again, just want to thank everybody for playing.
Food Bank wins. That's the ultimate.
We'd have won if Ryan Graston scored an own goal.
Ryan scored a spectacular own goal.
It was a great finish.
He slotted it home. Hit the back of the net. It was nice. Way to go, Ryan. Okay, let's talk about real news. Let's talk about players that St. Louis FC has signed since our last pod. We start with Richard Bryan. He is English, so Matt knows him, I'm sure.
Yeah, best mates.
Y'all know each other. Played with Detroit City FC last year. He's a right back.
Went to the same school as Tyler Blackwood.
There you go. From what we've heard... Everybody,
right?
He
everybody says he's a really nice guy.
He played with Des Moines Menace.
Oh, that's good.
Really good friends. You know that Scottish gobshite of a goalkeeper that wound us up?
Yeah.
They're best mates. Yeah. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Looking forward to having him with us. Daniel Fisher also signed, young left footed. I think he's a left back, but I didn't really see, but being left-footed, that was my assumption.
You're looking at me like I know anything this lad. That's the first I've heard of his name.
This is a young guy, which you got to take some chances on some young guys. So we'll see. I mean, Ant was excited to get him in. Now Ant's gone, but we'll see how he fits in. Somebody we're all excited about, Kyle Morton, the Pittsburgh Riverhounds goalie. He led the league in clean sheets last year.
Yeah.
Granted, he had a good defense playing in front of him. But this is a number one keeper.
Yes, no question there.
So that's something we needed.
That's a good pickup, man. It's a good. There's been a bit of an exodus out of Pittsburgh, to be honest. Makes you wonder if they don't pay.
I don't know. I don't know what's going there. Picked up another Ottawa guy. I'm going to mispronounce it, obviously.
Frenchie.
Jeremy Gagnon-Lapierre. He's a midfielder, but Ant said he saw him as a left back. We'll see what Coach Trichu has in mind. But again, we got to get some depth, and this is another depth signing. And then the big news.
You say that about depth signing, but our depth players are typically the ones that
come really through,
make a stamp on the season.
And I'm not. And Gagnon was a starter. He played a lot of minutes up in Ottawa. And
here's a question: how excited are you to have the starting midfield for the team that finished 8th last year?
Well, that's something we can talk about.
It's just, it crossed my mind.
I think we know Wallfall is the goods. Not sure about this guy, but...
I didn't watch a lot of Ottawa games either. And it's, we didn't watch a lot of Orlando B games, but when we all saw Austin Mars, we understood why he came here.
Right.
We understood why we signed him. And this will be another... I imagine this will be another thing. We never saw a lot of Kyle Culbertson when we first got him, and then we see him, we're like, he's the business.
But the big news, obviously, Anthony Pulis going to Miami to be an assistant coach, which left an opening, and we're bringing in Coach Steve Trichu. He is a Granite City native, long pro playing career, but has been in Colorado Springs the last several years.
He coached for the Rapids. He was an assistant there, right. And then he went down to the Colorado Springs.
First couple of years there, it was a truly independent team. He had his own way. They finished third in the league a couple times. As of late, they've been more of a Colorado Rapids feeder team.
Budget team,
playing the young kids from the Rapids. And the results sort of went down from there. I wish, like I said, our interview, we could play it for you, because I flat out asked him, do you hate Stan Kroenke as much as the rest of us? Because once Stan Kroenke's team got involved, his record started going down. But
he had no love for him.
Yeah.
That was said.
Well, I also think that teams figured out how to play at that altitude. As well, to a degree. You got Reno coming in, they play 4,000 feet. You've got Real Monarchs who play at that kind of altitude. And teams, they weren't the new kid on the block. Teams had adapted to play at that altitude, and kind of that big advantage that he had.
They'd get there early for a couple days.
Kind of got found out a little bit.
But I will also say, and obviously, unlike MLS, we do not have salary numbers for each team. We don't know specifically, but. It was pretty widely known that
Coach did flat out say he didn't get the budget he wanted.
Yeah, but people, even before he came out and said it, he, said, whereas St. Louis FC, we saw what they did the first season, and we saw how they've increased their payroll every year. They never did.
Yeah,
they stayed flat, yeah. But that's as good as going
backwards.
Because
Trichy was the coach, I did watch a lot of Colorado Springs games those first couple of years, and they also had Jake Causey there, who was St. Louis Lions. So I watched a lot of their games, and they were a good team. So I was, and they seemed to have it all together, a good core group of guys. And I was amazed when we got Gorick, and I was really excited because I'd watched a lot of their games. I was like, oh, we got a quality keeper, quality keeper, and I was really excited. And I said to Deval, I watched a lot of Colorado Springs games. Why are you all splitting up? He's like, they don't pay.
Yeah.
He's like, we had a great year. They don't want to pay. We all go to work for money. So
that was one of the things Coach did say. We did ask him flat out, what do we expect out of a Trichu team? And the one thing he said right off the bat was possession and drive.
And organization.
He wants to be hard to beat.
Yeah.
Hard to beat.
And that you can see that even when the team wasn't good around him, he had those things going on. It just didn't have the talent to keep up.
Speaking with, some of the other podcasters / experts like ourselves on Twitter, a lot of the book on him was he's not flashy. He's not, going to blow your mind with his creative game. He's not going to bore you to death with parking it behind the bus or parking the bus, but he is going to do the best with what he has. I think given the situation, the way he's come in, and we asked him about, this isn't a team he put together. He's inheriting someone else's, shopping list that they put together. And he said, no, but a lot of these guys were guys he liked.
He flat out said that a majority of them would be on his shopping list if he was making the team.
Right. But now he's in a position where he has to take what he's got and make something happen, which I think, you know, from some of the things we've heard, he makes the most of what he's got. I think that's a good recipe rather than some guy coming in saying, well, this year's a scrap.
Because I can't work.
Because I don't have my players and we'll worry about next year. We can't afford to do that. And so here we are.
I think if you'd have said to him last year at Colorado, hey, would you like Kadeem Dakers? Would you like Lewis Hilton? Would you like Russell Cicerone? Would you like Fan Kavita? He'd snap your hand off.
Yeah.
You know, so I think he looks down our roster and goes, all right, let's go to work.
I think it's more than he's ever had to work with.
Absolutely.
Potential hurdles. He's never been in the East. So he's going to have to get used to that style of play. But, I mean, he's a coach. I'm sure, you know, he's one of those guys that's already watched every game we played last year.
And also, Max Rogers is staying here. You know, with the Scottish assistant. He'll and I think that's important, too, some continuity in that regard. So Max ain't daft. Max will tell him.
And Jonesy is staying, too. Yeah, Jonesy knows. You know, again, we're getting an ace goalkeeper, and you still get one of the best goalie coaches in the league.
Tim Leonard is still involved in the Scott Gallagher. Dale's still there to lean on. You know, there's plenty of like minds to help Steve.
And Steve's familiar with the local scene to begin with, being A, from the area and still having roots here, that he flat out says repeatedly, I'm aware of the landscape. I know what's going on.
And just to kind of fill in some of the blanks, how quickly it appeared that Ant left and how quickly it appeared we moved on Steve Trichu. He was already going to be a part of the St. Louis FC system, probably in the academy, but they had brought him in after his time with Colorado was over. He had been made aware and was preparing himself to be a part of our organization. I think it was just I don't want to say it's the easy way out. I think they had looked at Trichu.
The stars lined up pretty well.
Right, but they had looked at Trichu before.
Well, when Dale left.
Yeah.
And when Dale left and when they brought in Ant, they, you know, and right. You know, he just wasn't available.
I am glad that I wasn't glad that Ant left. I'll go on record. I liked Ant. I thought he was a young, promising coach, and a lot of people weren't sold on him or
yeah. Me, I wasn't.
I know.
Our friends Mitch and Sarah were okay with Ant leaving.
Well, my thing is that you get 1 point in the last six games. That should end anybody's job, period.
Well, by that token, none of the players should be back.
Fair enough.
And that's my point. Yeah. You know, if you want to forgive... if you want to forgive Albadico for only scoring four goals in 2 years, you know, and say, oh, you're a young player, keep banging away, you've got to give the young coach the same yardstick, you know. And he was a young coach, and he messed up this year.
Well, but he made a run in the Open Cup.
He wanted a small squad that didn't handle it.
Again, these are the things that he would have to learn from and things that he made mistakes on. But I think
that said, I'm glad that the way the club just moved straight on.
Yeah.
No hanging around. He left on the Monday. By Wednesday, we knew who the coach was going to be. And I posted on Twitter, the king is dead, long live the king. I'm all right with Steve.
I'm the opposite. I am over the moon about Steve. I've always liked him, what he's done, like in Colorado, you know, his legacy as a player. You know, hell, he's familiar with Soccer Park. He made a quote unquote save at the World Cup qualifier in 1989.
Yeah,
which
or may not have been a handball.
It was. And he flat out, he even said it. You know, he just, oh yeah, I did that. You know, but he's got,
and a guy that went over to Prague.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about
not just like Prague now, but Prague in 1980s. It was different proposition.
Yeah. We talk about, you know, wishing our kids had a little bit of moxie and would go over there and challenge themselves. I can't imagine anything more challenging than
Prague in 1989.
I mean, before the Berlin Wall.
Not speaking the language and you know, really going over there. So this is a guy who challenges himself, and he said it in the press conference. He is happy to have someone who expects something from him, because his last few years in Colorado was just about playing the kids, and I don't think there really was that pressure on him. Some people thrive in that, and I think he likes coming to, and he mentioned it, as great as the Switchbacks fans are, there are not a lot of them. He knows the fans here are going to hold him to a higher standard than the fans in Colorado Springs did.
I mean, they every time we played them, pretty much, except one time, they beat us.
Yeah.
I mean, they were, every time we played them, they were a good team.
So, I like I said, I wish that interview would have survived, but hopefully...
You want to kick my dog while you're at it? I feel bad enough already. Just keep bringing it up.
Why would I kick Sammy? I'll kick you.
Yeah, I was going to say, you'd actually probably hurt your foot if you kick Sammy.
It was just getting him on the couch, man. It's all good.
Yeah, no, we
but,
will.
Which
he has already said he's looking forward to it.
I was impressed with how personable he was. What he had to say, he didn't pull any punches, and, you know... Yeah, I think one of you guys asked, what do we expect from your team? And he's like, I haven't seen the players yet. I've got to watch the players and see how I can get the best out of them.
But my system is XYZ.
Hard to beat. I'd like to be hard to beat.
Good.
I've stood there a lot of times watching Louisville and Red Bull 2 and Richmond Kickers steamrollers. So let's be hard to beat.
Yep. All right, let's do some questions from the fans and we'll answer them the best we can. But like I said, if you really want answers to these questions, you should come next week to the town hall because that's going to be very important.
Word of warning about the town hall next week.
Yes.
We are not asking questions about MLS. This is about St. Louis FC. This is not about MLS for the Lou. This is not about anything having to do with MLS. This is about the team we have that we are talking about that day to support that day.
It's really a town hall to look back at 2019 and what went right and what went wrong. And now that Ant's gone, you can still ask those questions of Pat Barry and Tom and the other people who are there. But it's looking forward to 2020 and what Steve's going to plan. And if Jim shows up, which first of all, Jim's a very busy man. He can't always be at these things. He's going to try. If he chooses to address MLS, you know, in a general way, that's great. But there are still things they can't talk about because it's...
Call it the Steamers.
Yeah.
I'm thinking...
He's not going to announce the name of the team.
No, I'm thinking we get a big hook like Showtime at the Apollo.
Yeah.
That if somebody asks a question about MLS, yoink, we're pulling them away from the
mic. Remember this time last year and everyone thought there was going to be like some big announcement, like Frank Cusimano showed up and it was just that AGM.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm still mad at Tom. I wanted that rug.
I know you do. One of these days.
I'm
going to
wear it
days.
Like a Merkin.
The key is to be respectful of our guests and to talk about St. Louis FC because that's what this is the town hall for. Okay, first up, PT the Islander. It's been a long time since we've seen Ryan.
I see he was at the doodad on Saturday.
Was he?
Oh, I didn't see him.
He was at the presser. He wasn't at the game. He was at the presser.
Oh, okay.
He wants to know, will Coach Steve finally put three guys up top? He won't put five guys on the back line, will he? I think anything's possible.
I don't see him putting five guys back because that's not his style.
I don't think so. But
I mean, there may be a time that calls for it, but...
I don't know. Maybe he would go three at the back and then have the two overlapping wingers. I don't know.
All I know is I'm excited.
There we go. Michael Baldridge, thoughts on Tritt for sure. Does he make us better? He had Colorado rolling for a while. Differences from Ant, and can we finally expect consistency? Well, you know, we've only got 2 years, so how consistent can you be in 2 years?
Just even consistency in a month. That's what we need.
That is a good point.
Let's start with a month and see what happens.
I don't. As far as his differences from Ant, we'll have to see. Ant's a younger coach. Steve has kind of seen more, done more. But I don't know. I think he will make us better. I think as Bert has said, he will make it hard to beat us. And sometimes that's not always the most attractive soccer, but
I'll take 1-0 wins all day.
We want points.
Well, I mean, if we announce Bob Lilly tomorrow, we'd all be delighted, us three.
Right.
You know, the tiki-taka fan who wants us to pass people off the park won't be happy.
But again, we have got Tyler Blackwood for a full season this year. Look what he did last year. Everybody keeps forgetting that we sent, you know, they're like, oh, we need another striker. I'm like, sons of bitches, we got Tyler Blackwood
for a full year. And a change is as good as a rest sometimes, you know.
Wall adds to our strike.
We're going to have Wall spraying the ball around and driving. Oh, my God. Yes, this is going to be an exciting offense.
Kyle Gregg is thrilled that Wall will be back.
Yes, because he had a,
providing
some of his best
something
time,
up the middle.
So when,
yeah,
when Wall was feeding them.
Matt Baker assumes we'll talk about this earlier in the episode. I don't know. Maybe we did.
If he's asking about MLS, cut him off.
Can you expand upon the involvement Steve Trechu has had with our organization between leaving Colorado Springs in July and now, if it will help us with his relationship with the players?
He came in to help with the last six games of the year.
No, I think we mentioned he was coming in to work with the academy. I think, but he was with the team during these player signings. I think he knows. I'm sure they asked for his input, just like you would ask for anybody's input who was a coach at this level. So it's not like he's totally unfamiliar with our players. Maybe there's some differences between a guy he would have picked up versus a guy that Ant would have picked up. But we know there's still more signings coming. We know several are done, all but the USL rubber stamp. But, you know, we'll just have to see. But I know there are more signings coming that he will have had a bigger say in.
And one thing I'm going to mention, it's not related really to Baker's question, but as I say, I watched a lot of the first couple of years of Colorado, and they were starting from scratch just like we were. And Steve found a lot of quality players those first couple of years. I mean, he does know the landscape pretty well. I mean, he found Miggy Gonzalez, Garrick, Martin Mabin, Ronnie Argueta, some quality guys who have gone around this league and made real big stamps on this league. Luke Vercoloni, an absolute diamond. Master Casher was a Steve signing at Colorado. He can find good players, can Steve?
We've got a couple of questions asking, you know, about what kind of soccer he's going to play. We mentioned it. He said in the interview he's going to have to wait and see when he gets him out on the field what he thinks will work. So I can't speak to any specifics there. Zach wanted to say the preseason starts pretty soon. Any word on yes, we will be getting more players. Any big announcements, changes for 2020 coming out of the USL meeting in Florida? I don't think anything big for the league. I think for us, I think we need to get some preseason games in. Then we can start to talk about things. It'll be interesting to see who those preseason things are. I know last year was a pretty successful home and away with Ford Madison. Maybe we do that again. A couple of people have mentioned Chattanooga.
You've got to think it's on the cars.
That might be kind of fun to do a game in Chattanooga or have them here. But yeah, again, we're trying to plan some things, but a lot of it depends on that preseason. And I don't know if he's going to take a trip. Like some coaches like to get the boys out of town for a couple of weeks. I don't know what's going to happen there, but we will let you know as soon as we know. Greg Halbex, is the new coach going to be the GM also, or is the team looking for a new GM? From everything we've heard, it's basically going to be Pat Barry, and it was Ant, but now Steve, I'm sure, will be identifying players. And I don't know if that's a cost-saving move, just a, you know,
it's probably a logistics move more than anything, with everything going on this close to the season.
And
stick with the people that already are familiar.
And we've mentioned it, the uncertainty with the future of the team, that's got to be hard to lure somebody in to be the GM. So,
yeah, and you mentioned it there, that how close we are to the season. When Ant announced that he was leaving, I was kind of like, ugh, I wish this had happened 3 months ago.
Yeah, that's my biggest concern about Ant leaving, is the timing of it. But we know for a fact that Miami just signed their head coach. So
they're not concerned about it.
Well, it didn't give Ant much time to give his, you know, former team notice, because it just popped open. Cake with the J, this is the leader of the St. Lilligans, Jake. He wants to know, we're not worthy. How many more signings would you expect before the season starts? And any idea if and how the new coach will use the academy? Well, I think we definitely need another keeper, and I've heard a couple of names that it could be, and they're names you will know. We need another center back for
definitely
sure.
We need another center back.
I have on good authority, they're one of those pending signings.
Is a center back. Okay. We probably need two more center backs for depth.
Or at least a center back slash.
That, right. And we need another probably left back. Well, it just depends on, I don't know who's playing what now with Steve coming in. I think midfield we're okay at. I would like another striker or another attacking midfielder.
Yeah, I think another attacking midfielder, someone that a bit more versatile. I mean, midfield wise, I mean, we've got a guy and Wall and this Jeremy fella,
Kadeem
on the wing, and then and Russell. Russell can play on the wing.
I think we're looking at 4 to 5 more signings at least, and maybe more depending on. And as far as the academy goes, well, since he was brought in to work with the academy, I am hoping he will make use of the academy. I think that has been a strength of ours in years past. Look no further than Jack, you know, getting ready to be drafted 1 or 2 in the MLS Super Draft. There are a lot of young kids that can put in a shift. But it has to fit with the overall game plan. Again, we still have to see, you know, if he's a super conservative coach, maybe he doesn't want to risk much on a kid.
Yeah, what's the news with that? The kid that we signed from the academy last year, is it Nick?
Nick Vlastos. He's back.
Okay,
he is back. Maybe he's a guy that sees that I'm going to have to use some young kids to get us through, you know, the different competitions. And maybe he will roll the dice on some kids. So
hungry kids snapping at players' heels make them better players, too, you know.
Look at Patrick Schulte last year. I mean, if it wasn't for Patrick Schulte in that Des Moines game, we wouldn't have had the U.S. Open Cup run. So there are moments in the season.
And we probably would have got 5 more points this season.
That's true. but there are moments in the season when you have to trust the kids and you have to, you know, let them fill a role. And hopefully he can spot those kids and figure out ways to use them appropriately. Let's see. Cake with the J. And then, Greg Halbach's, any news from MLS for the league regarding the state dollars? No. There was an article in the Business Journal this week. It was just basically kind of fluff, just 5 things that need to happen. I would assume they will finalize the stadium one way or the other and break ground within the next couple of months if they want to hit that 2022 with the stadium ready to go. They're going to have to start building it soon. So whether or not that will mean a resolution to the state money, or if they're just going to start it and then try to work it out later.
Or they might cut something. You know, it might mean less of the park area or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's always a possibility. They could, I mean, I hate to see that because we've all seen stadiums with their grand projection, and then when the final thing comes, it's like, oh, yeah, we didn't build all this nice stuff around the outside that said we were going to. But if the state fucked them over, that might be how it gets resolved. Because don't forget, the league already made them pay another $50 million more in the expansion fee than they'd planned on paying. So
they're rich, but even rich people say, hey, enough's enough.
Yeah, I mean, I can float you for lunch, but I'm not going to float you for lunch and supper. I mean, that kind of thing. So we'll see what happens there, but I don't know. We haven't heard a lot from MLS for the league. Now, I'm hoping since the new year kicked over, maybe they start ramping up their efforts. Maybe they start hiring some people. Maybe they start interacting a little better on social media.
There was on LinkedIn today, there was an announcement that the chief revenue officer or whatever they're calling it.
Basically corporate sales or...
Yeah, it's the head of ticketing and sales. And
I read that LinkedIn thing. I fell asleep while I was reading it.
Well, it's just like all the stories on LinkedIn. Nobody cares. But
I care.
But it is a start.
It's part of my job.
The guy, I don't. It has. It's not an official announcement, so I don't want to guess to say it. But
the
he's worked with the NFL.
Yeah. Well, the company that helped him get the job or whatever was announced it.
So MLS for the Lou hasn't announced it.
I'm sure he's really happy with the gig. It's a revenue officer. It's nothing to do with putting players on a field. So
that's I mean, that's true. And I here's the thing though. He's in charge of selling it basically to St. Louis. he doesn't have soccer experience, which is okay. He's got professional sports experience, but he's also from another market. You know, usually you kind of want one or the other. You either want a guy who really knows soccer or really knows the city he's working.
If only there was a guy from St. Louis who really knew soccer.
Yeah, well, that would be.
If only there was one guy that they could talk to, potentially give him a gig.
That would be the dream. But let's.
It's weird.
This is not for soccer. This is for for selling things and
St. Louis legacy.
St. Louis legacy. Let's mention a few.
One
things.
Professional championship in the history. Yeah. St. Louis legacy.
Let's.
That's how many professional championships the city's got in soccer.
There we go.
Let's call it, like, you know, fuck off with that shit.
Just a shout out. Don't forget next week, Town Hall. We'll be putting out more information about that. And then the following week, it will actually be our 9th anniversary as a podcast, guys.
Holy cow.
9 years of podcasting.
Now I feel sorry for you two, because I've only been doing it 6.
But I think on that episode, we might do
9 years of busted equipment.
Yeah, that's what we could call it. That episode, we might do it live if we can find an appropriate venue. But we're also going to do sort of a history of the Luligans, and we're going to explain some of the inside jokes. We're going to explain why we do certain things we do that maybe you joined 5 years ago and you don't know why we say game day bitches, or you don't know why we say this is silly, or things like that. We're kind of going to go through that. We've got some more new fans joining us, what with the hoopla of MLS and just St. Louis FC being around for a bit longer. I think it'll be a really fun episode where we'll get some of your questions in and answer some of those things.
Speaking of the history of the Luligans,
yes,
a great time to announce that we have a revamped website right now. The website crashed recently.
My friend Mitch fixed it, though.
Fixed. Fixed is a relative term.
Yeah.
But we have a new, more modern website, and in doing so, we also have a new area on the website called the Archive.
Yes.
I have started the process, and Sarah Robertson has helped out massively as well.
You guys have done a lot of work on that.
We have created the basically an online gallery from all 9 going on 10 years here of the Luligans. So I went through over the Christmas holiday, went through all my years of pictures and uploaded them. Sarah has done the same. We're going to start scanning. I'm going to start scanning documents and handouts and stuff like that to, you know, the AC St. Louis ticket contract and, you know, those kind of things. Start really kind of putting up everything that I have quite the Rubbermaid collection back there of crap that I've been handed and scars we're going to take pictures of. We're going to kind of get everything we can and really document it all. So in the same token, I offer to you guys out there in listener land, if you've got pictures, if you've got those kind of things, send them my way, because I'd like to put them up there and make sure it's not just my perspective on everything, or Sarah's perspective, or Brad's, or Bird's, or whoever. Just, you know, if you have these things.
I'm not an OG, man.
But even
you've been around for quite a while.
But I don't even care about OGs. If it's from last year, or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, you've got things, you know, hey, reach out. Easy to find on, you know, Twitter, or Instagram, or whatever. You know, reach out to us and let us know so we can.
If all else fails, you can email them to info@stluligans.com.
Yep, absolutely.
A couple other things. I want to thank Mitch again. Last week, we realized we weren't going to be able to get together and do a show. So he did something fun that a lot of people have asked for over the years, is they always like the songs Mitch picks to close out the show. So he made a complete playlist of every song we've ever used to close out a show. And it was kind of fun to go through and just read the titles and try to figure out, oh, yeah, we were talking about that day, or just some of the good
did
songs.
Did you have the Serbian National Anthem?
I did.
Yeah.
It is on there.
They're
the
all there. And he made a Spotify playlist if the song was available on Spotify.
There were some, like the Joker's Wild theme song.
Yeah.
Pale Divine, St. Louis band. And, you know, those. There's a couple of those kind of things that weren't available. But yeah, it's kind of cool, and there's a spreadsheet on there as well too that links to a Google Doc that will automatically be updated with every show. I'll enter the information and add it to the Spotify playlist. So
that was fun, and I know a lot of people sent me messages thanking me for that. And I said, well, you should really send the message to Mitch because he did all the work.
They didn't.
And he usually is the one who picks out the songs. Occasionally, Matt and I will have a suggestion, but Mitch is usually the musical one of us that has that knowledge.
But it's great, though, too, because there are times, we've even had guests sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, Alan Baugh has tossed in a couple where he's like, oh, you know what? This would be funny.
Well, and we've had guests who say, I can't wait to listen to the episode tomorrow to see which song you pick, because, I mean, that's kind of fun. The other thing I wanted to mention was social media. Follow us on social media. The podcast is getting close to 1,000 followers on Twitter.
What?
I would like to get 1,000 followers.
That'd be awesome. I should make like 12 accounts.
Yeah.
And argue with you from 9 of them.
Yeah.
And make sure they all follow it.
Yeah, that would be cool.
You'll know when he's pissed because he'll put him on the group chat and go, who's this dickhead?
Then Matt and Bert have a side conversation. How long do you think it'll take before he realizes it's me fucking with him? That would be fun, too. But seriously, follow us on Instagram. Sarah just does such an amazing job. I know it sounds like a broken record, but she impresses me weekly.
The creativity that goes into it is...
Her recent little foray into finding our best picture of the year. I mean, all the pictures were great, but it's fun.
So glad fireworks didn't win.
Yeah, that's true. But she does a lot of interactive things on the stories, and I know nothing about Instagram. I don't follow a lot of accounts, but she is always doing very cool stuff. And follow us on Twitter and Facebook, as always. Something else that came up, and I do want to just mention it. Last year, This Is Silly Pod won the USL Reddit Podcast of the Year. We're up again for that award. You don't get any money. You don't get any trophy.
We get a star above our logo.
We put a star above our logo, I guess. But we are up again for that award this year. I think the voting goes through Thursday.
I think so.
And there's some other good podcasts up there, too. And there's things to vote for all about the USL.
Mascot of the year.
Yeah,
you know.
Best silly moment of the year. There's
best
some
TIFO.
Yeah, there's some inside Reddit stuff. If you don't follow, you're probably not going to get. But if you're on Reddit, go over to the USL Pro. It's USL Championship now, but I think it's still called USL.
Call it, you can't change the name
right.
of it, I think. So.
Go to the votes, awards, and vote. And, give us a vote. So
I did.
Other than that, there you go. Other than that, I don't have anything. Guys, do you have anything?
Not really. Just waiting on the schedule now. Just trying to start looking on orbits at flights and trips. Where do you want to go?
Paul announced he's coming for the home opener. That was nice.
Must be nice to have money.
Yeah.
Where do you want to go? Away trip?
Somewhere I've always wanted to go in the East that I haven't gone, but you have, is the Charleston trip. I think that would be a good trip.
Pittsburgh. I still want to go to High Mark.
I like that stadium. Yeah. I'd like to be there.
Yeah, I'd like to see that once.
Obviously, we'll do the Louisville. We'll do the Indianapolis.
Memphis.
As long as they don't screw us and put it on a Sunday or put it on a Wednesday or something crazy.
Sneak peek. It's pretty good schedule this year, guys.
Cool.
Pat Barry kind of gave me some insight to it. A lot of really good dates. People's least favorite of day of the week is minimalized. So that's a positive. And no, I really like he let me look over his shoulder while he was doing some work the other day, and I really like the schedule this year.
We'll get some bus trips this year.
Oh, we're going to have some good bus trips this year because Louisville, Memphis, and Indy, they're nice and spread out a little bit. It's not all like real close to each other.
Yeah, three games in a row.
Right, so it's good. And that's the other thing, too, is that they did a really good job. He said they made a conscious effort to try to balance it a little bit more. So we don't have those...
A half a season with no games.
At home. Or, you don't have that month away or the month at home. And, they did a real good job of balancing out this year. So kudos to Pat and the staff and USL for not screwing us.
There you go. Matt, what do you want to? Where do you want to go this year?
Pittsburgh.
Sarah's got people in Pittsburgh, doesn't she?
Hunkies.
Mountain people.
Mountain folk.
Sort of
Miami this year. I mean, if you want to get down to South Beach and...
It depends what time of year, though. I mean, you don't want to go in the middle
of August. Us three in bikinis? Come on.
Speedos, bitches.
I was talking to Pat Barry about it because he asked me about mine and Ewan's trip in November. And I said, I really enjoyed it. And I said, mainly because it was something different. I said, I love St. Louis FC. I love what we do. I love going away trips. But there's only so many times you can go to Louisville.
Yeah.
You know, so it was something different for Ewan. And I want to do something kind of different again. But I said, it's hard. I enjoyed being in the West because there's some really nice destinations there. I said, the best one in the world. You can't get up. You can't get excited about taking your wife to Harrisburg or Rochester. And he said, and Pat Barry even mentioned, you know, Hartford. He said, Hartford's a good trip because you stay on a little fishing village on the coast and you have some good seafood.
That might be fun.
Yeah. Drive around the New England towns.
We've lost our Canadian getaway. There's no more Ottawa trips.
Yeah, I've been to Hartford for work at the old job. Not a big fan of the city. It's kind of a weird city, but there's some really neat spots in it. Mm-hmm. And And I'd like to go see their stadium because it sounds like it's a pretty good setup, and that'd be neat. But
is the mall where the Whale played still there?
No, it got torn down a couple of years ago.
But really, if I could swing it, I don't know obviously when it is, but Pittsburgh. I think a couple of years ago we played when Preki was in charge.
Mm-hmm.
We played there on a Wednesday night. It was no good to Man the Beast, you know.
You and Sarah went somewhere out.
Harrisburg.
You went to Harrisburg. Okay. Well, and that's the other thing. Bethlehem. Now they're in Chester. They're in Philadelphia.
There's a direct fly from St. Louis to Philly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not beyond the road, but I'm not going to try.
I don't
want to
go see a
two team,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the thing. I don't, you know, like that or Atlanta 2 or, you know, New York 2 or I just got no interest. I want to see the Independents. I think I'd really like to do Miami, but I have a feeling that
I'm just not a Miami guy.
I just want to go just to say I've been.
I'm too fat and too poor and too white for Miami.
Well, we'll get tan. we'll oil up and
maybe. I still
get some gold
chains. Nobody in South Beach wants to see me. You know, you're there to see the pretty people. I am not that.
I did enjoy Indy last year. That was a good little trip.
You know, I didn't get to do Memphis last year.
True.
And I didn't get to do Indy last year because they stuck the Indy game on a Sunday because of the NFL.
And Birmingham's.
Birmingham
million,
might be all right. Yeah.
Miles away.
I was just at Birmingham,
but
I'm not going back.
I think Memphis I could easily.
I will if we win 2-0 again.
Good point.
But Memphis I could easily convince the wife to do a long weekend in Memphis, get some barbecue. She's a sucker for Rendezvous Ribs. Indy with the boys is an easy one. But, yeah, I'd like to do one game sort of outside of the realm,
mm-hmm.
you know, where it's not a bus trip or a. We'll see.
I wouldn't mind Charlotte. That might be. North Carolina is pretty sweet.
Yeah. What about NCFC, the Raleigh, Durham?
They're going to be good this year, man.
Yeah, that too. I mean, either of the Carolinas, that's a pretty area of the country. I've been there for work. I like it. I could definitely see doing that.
Yeah.
That could be on there. But I think you're right. I think I want to see Pittsburgh Stadium.
Yeah.
I want to see that stadium on the river, and that's pretty cool to me.
All right. So there's your challenge as we head out. Make sure to make plans to come to Town Hall next week. But tell us in the comments or on Twitter, what stadium do you most want to go see in the East this year? And that's it.
Well, on that note, we'll see you.
But I'm not dead. I'm in Pittsburgh. And now I can't get out of town. I'm not dead, I'm in Pittsburgh. They got me all strung up, come cut me down. Like the weed.